If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. And when you get there, I would like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a powerful verse. Actually, your Lord, every bit of your holy word is powerful. But God, this morning, let us examine our hearts. Let us do everything for your glory. The things we do, the things that we think, and the things that come out of our mouths, let it be for your glory. And God, we pray today that, Father, you will speak to us through this message. Let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. You may be seated. What do you think about when it comes to being committed? I can think of so many different things in life that we could be committed to. But really, what it all boils down to, there's only one person that we could be committed to and to living for that has the greatest benefits of all. He is the one that gives us a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He is the one, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the one who knows us, he understands us, because he is the one who created us. And if he knows the number of hairs that are on the top of my head, which I know they're getting fewer and fewer by each passing day, then I know that I could trust him with my life. So when I think of commitment, I think of committing my life to Christ. And I know that when the day came that I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus, I know that God had been working on me, and I came to a place where I realized I couldn't live another moment without him, that I couldn't go through this journey alone, because if I went through this journey alone, I would be wandering lost out in the wilderness somewhere. I wouldn't really have a purpose or a reason for living life the way that I do. But because of Jesus and what he did for me on the cross, when I got saved, I made a commitment to live for him. And why would I do that? Because, as I said a minute ago, what he did for us on the cross, he shed his blood and he paid the penalty of my sins. That is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Ain't nobody going to give you a gift greater than that. See, every one of us should be condemned to hell for our sin, for our downfall, because Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and all through the generations, sin has been present. But Jesus saw the need, and you know what Jesus was? He was committed. You know what he was committed to? He was committed to doing his Father's will. He was committed to come and die for you and I, and he was committed to be raised from the dead on the third day like he said he would. So if Jesus was that committed, then I should be that committed to live for him, and I should be committed in such a way that I won't let anything come in between my relationship with Christ. When I lay my head down at night on the pillow to go to sleep, I want to have a clear conscience that I have lived for the Lord today, that I have done all I could do to please him, Because when I go to sleep at night, and if I was to pass away, then I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account of my life. I'm going to give an account of every word spoken, of every thought, of every action, and every deed. And you know what, friends? I want the Lord to be able to look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So in being committed, our lives have to be Christ-centered. And I read in the Scripture in verse 31, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." See, Christ has got to be the very center of your life for your life to have any meaning at all. You can't have money. You can't put people as the center of your life because those things are temporary and they're going to pass away one day and never exist again. But Christ is eternal. And it's important for Christ to be the center of our life because when the Lord is the center of our life, we are allowing Him to work through us and in us so that His will would be done. I've stressed this so much over the years as a pastor or just filling in for somebody that in the church, if we're all Christ-centered and we're all Christ-committed, then we should be working together as a body within the church to accomplish the Lord's will. And what's the Lord's will for the church? It's not to have social hours all the time. It's not to see who can dress the nicest or who could be the most talented in the church. But God's will for the church was that we go out into the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. And I want to ask the question this morning, when is the last time that you and I led somebody to Jesus Christ? When is the last time that we told somebody about Jesus? God gives us many opportunities. Sometimes I think we get blindsided by the things of this world or the cares of this world, and we don't really see what lies before us. I remember one day I was driving. I just been a Christian for a short time, and I just started preaching. And I'd had supper one night, and as I left the house, I was driving down the street, and I saw a young man. He was walking, just kind of pacing back and forth. And as I drove by, the Lord said, "I want you to go talk to him." And I'm driving. I said, "Well, Lord, I don't know him. What if he's a criminal or something? What if he's dangerous?" All these, that's what I'm talking about, things getting in the way. Our reasonings, our thoughts and our ideas and perceptions about something will get in the way. The devil wants to distract us in any way he can to keep us from being a witness. Well, I ended up turning the car around and going back because I said, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. And I turned back on that street and there was that guy still walking and he gave me the strangest look as I pulled up and parked my car. And I got out of the car and boldly went up to him and I asked him. I told him who I was and I just asked him, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And he stopped and he started backing away from me a little bit because I think he knew what I was there for. And we talked for just a short time and I got the chance to witness to him. But he didn't want to receive Christ at the moment. But because Christ being the center of our life, if we will allow God to work, He will put you in places that you never thought possible. I told you a few weeks back about going to East St. Louis and getting to preach. I had the best time with those. I never would have dreamed that I would get to go to such a place. I've had the opportunity to go to South Dakota and do missions work around the area of Blount, South Dakota, and to witness and minister to people. And we saw people come to Christ, and we saw God working. But when Christ is the center of everything of our life, life is going to be so much sweeter. And if we want our churches to survive, then Christ has got to be our focus. When we come into this house to worship, we should come into this house with a joyful heart. And we should come expecting to receive from the Lord. We should leave everything in our lives out there, outside these doors. And when we come in here, we should come in here with worship and joy in our hearts and lives. I know I love when I get up Sunday morning. I've told you this before, and I'll always tell you this. I love when I get to come here because I love the fellowship. I love to see when I come here, it's Laura and Effie and Darwin are usually the ones here, if I get here a little early enough. And when I walk through the door, there's smiles, and that makes me feel so good. And you can feel the presence of the Lord in this church. How many of you feel the Lord's presence when you walk in here? And I'm not talking about an emotion that comes from within you. I'm talking about a touch and a move of the Lord because He is in this place. And why is that happening? Because Christ is the center of this church. And as long as we keep Christ in the center of this church, it'll continue to prosper and grow. And we have got to have God at the center of everything. If you want a church to grow spiritually, and if you want a church to grow in numbers, then we've got to trust God to lead us through that journey. God has taken me to some places, and I've got to visit and witness to folks. And they say, well, Brother Jim, boy, I really loved going to church, but man, church is this and that and the other. And I say, well, quit making excuses. When we come into God's house, we should leave all those excuses outside the door. But also, with Christ being the center of our church, Christ should also be the center of our home. Christ should be the center of our jobs. Whatever it is we do, if you own a business, Christ should be the center of all that, because when we have God leading our life, then He's going to take care of every little detail of our lives. Secondly, overcome temptation. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." As Christian people, you and I need to take so importantly that we have got to pray and we have to walk uprightly. We have to live by the Spirit. When we live by the Spirit, then we're going to seek out the things that are filled with joy and peace and fellowship. We're going to seek after the things of God. When we live by the Spirit, we're going to seek the Lord on a daily basis. And we have to watch out because there is temptation, which is the flesh, and we know who works through the flesh, the enemy. We are tempted on a daily basis. I can't tell you how many times when I know I was in a tough church situation, I would get up on Sunday morning and I would think, oh, do I feel a sick belly coming on? I should stay home today. I should get someone to go fill the pulpit for me. Or even when I was just going to church, I would find reasons as a young person, and I did this for such a long time, I would go to church and mom and dad basically said, son, you know, you're 16, 17 years old, you're driving now, you're kind of becoming a man, and so if you go to church, that's up to you now. It's between you and the Lord. Well, you know what I started doing? I had the temptation on TV every Sunday morning. KPLR TV St. Louis played Wrestling at the Chase. And you know what I did? I'd go to Sunday school I'd slip out of Sunday school. I'd greet people all out in front of, hey, how you doing today? Good to see you. I wasn't even a Christian at the time. But I wanted people to think that I was there for church. And as soon as people started filtering into church and the crowd got small, you know what I did? I exited through the back door, got in my car, and I drove home, kicked back in the recliner, and I was watching wrestling at the Chase because I wanted to watch wrestling on TV. Now, I was brought up in church, and I loved going every Sunday. And even though I wasn't a Christian, I started finding myself in a place where the devil was pulling me away from church because I know that he knew what God wanted to do with my life, and he was trying to pull me away from that. The temptation was there, and I fell into it. But when I got saved and gave my heart and life to the Lord, I realized there was so much more to my life, that there was a calling, and I needed to walk in that calling. Are there some Sunday mornings I'd like to stay in bed a little longer and sleep? Oh boy, you in the flesh, you better believe it. I'd like to get a few more beauty winks. I like what Corrine said this morning to Harold. She asked him, what are you doing coming in right now? And I said, he was getting just a few more beauty winks. And she said, well, he needs to go back and start over. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. So I need a lot more beauty winks, Harold. I need to go way back. But getting up of a morning, it's a commitment to the Lord. When my feet hit the floor, I'm saying, God, I want to walk with you today, and I want you to lead me. And number one, I'm not going to be afraid. So whatever you want to do with me today, Lord, you do it. And I pray every day, God, put somebody in my path that I could witness to. Let your words come out of my mouth. Let the boldness be there, and do not let me shy away. I had a friend of mine worked in the prison, and he worked with this girl, and he told the story of what happened. He said, God had been after me to witness to her for such a long time. And he said, I know that she liked to party and drink and live wild and do all this stuff. He said, what do you expect correctional officers to do with the stress and all that they're involved in? He said, some of them don't even care about church. But he said, God kept putting this girl in my heart. And he said, I knew this one day I was supposed to witness to her because she was leaving to go on vacation. And he said, I failed to witness to her. And he said, she went on vacation, and while she was out on a jet ski, she was involved in an accident, and she was killed. And he said, right then and there, I knew that her blood was on my hands. Because he said, I was supposed to witness to her, but he said, I let fear get a hold of me, and I didn't say anything, because he said, I didn't want her to think I was some kind of weirdo for telling her about Jesus. Well, we have to overcome those temptations in our life. And fear is one of the biggest temptations that we're going to face in this life. Fear is going to come at us from every side. It's going to have a different face, so many different areas of life. And if we let fear overtake us, then we're going to continue to live in the flesh, and we're going to say, well, Lord, I don't want to do that today because I don't want to lose my friends, or I don't want people at work to think I'm some strange nut. You know what? When I'm at work, well, I'll stand at the front door at visitations and people walk in. How are you this evening? And they're doing fine. And they go, how are you? I say, well, I'm blessed. Well, some of them look at me like my bricks aren't laid in a straight row, and they just walk on by. And other folks, they'll walk in, and when I say I'm blessed, they say, so am I. See, we need to overcome the temptations of the flesh so that we can live for the Lord. Because when we're living for God, we're going to live abundantly. We will receive from Christ when He is the center of our life. But if we let everything else come in that's of the world, we'll be blinded to what the Lord wants us to see. Maturity. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When you start as a new Christian, you're a babe in Christ. Well, we know that when you become a newborn again Christian, that you're not going to immediately start going out and preaching the word and knowing everything about it. So where do we start at to be mature in our walk with Christ? Right here. This right here is your basic food group right here. This is how you feed your soul. You want to know how to live? This is your holy book of instructions. I had someone mention one day that they said the Bible stood for basic instructions before leaving earth. I thought, well, I never thought of that. That is your basic instructions before leaving the earth. This is God's holy ordained word. From Genesis to Revelation, every word is God-inspired and God-breathed. And the men who wrote it were in fellowship and in tight communication with the Lord. They were walking with Christ obediently. They were committed to doing what God wanted. So when we start reading this word and when we start speaking it and when we start living it, it will grow inside of us and you will become somebody who is not afraid to live for the Lord. When I started preaching, I told you, I was scared to death. I surrendered one night. I fought and I fought and I fought because I was scared. I was scared stiff where God would send me and what He'd have me to do. And when I surrendered to the ministry, I got a call that night, just a couple hours later. And I went the next Sunday morning, and I sat on the front row scared to death because I didn't know what I was going to say. I never stood in front of people and talked before. And I kept going inside this turmoil, and I kept saying, sing another song. I'm not ready yet. Sing another one. You know, I don't want to get up there yet. But when I got up there, I started remembering the word that I've studied, and a boldness came to me. And I said, Lord, this ain't about me. It's about You. And that's what maturing in Christ does, is you start to realize your place in life. Your place in life, you're playing second fiddle, and God has to be first. If you want to mature, you've got to make Him first in everything. And you've got to get into this Word, and you have got to pray, and you have got to seek God with all of your heart and all of your life. I mean, you've got to commit your finances to Him, your job, your family. You've got to give Him everything, even when you're going through circumstances that you don't even know that you're going to make it sometimes. Maturing in Christ and in a relationship with Him, you're going to know how to stand and walk, and you're also going to know when to hit your knees and pray, because as Milton's saying, Lord, it's me again, and I need You. I don't need somebody else. I mean, I can't call Corrine and ask her to give me the answers for my life. And I can't call Sanders. Why do I do that? I get all these names. Well, I can't call Gene Sanders and say, now, Gene, you know, I need you to tell me what to preach next Sunday. Well, Gene's not going to know what to tell me to preach. But all I have to do is say, Lord, I come to You. And Lord, I have failed today. Lord, I've sinned, and I ask You to forgive me. And Lord, show me what I need to read and study in Your Word, because these are some things that I'm facing today. And you know what? I can't tell you how many times that God has led me to the right passages of Scripture in this Word that has helped me to get through situations that I've faced. Interest. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I mean, your heart. I preached this message a while back. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust, they won't destroy, and thieves won't break in and steal. Don't store up for yourself treasures on this earth, because the old heaven and earth is going to pass away. Go and read what John wrote in Revelations about that. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. See, the things of God are eternal. The things of God bring true joy and satisfaction. The things of God are more valuable. I see people working fervently to have a big bank account, or to be recognized in the community, or to hold this position, or to be this in the church or whatever, or to be talented with that musical instrument, whatever it is. I see people who are being committed to things of this world because they want folks to look at them and go, wow, would you look at their life and how great they are? I don't want that. That doesn't hold anything for me. That's why when people say to me, and I don't ever want people to take this the wrong way, but when people come up to me and they say, boy, that was a great message you preached. It wasn't me. I don't take credit for anything that I preach out of God's Word. God gets the glory. God is the one who gave me the Word to speak. And I ask God every Sunday, Lord, put your Word as a burning coal of fire upon my lips. And when the people hear me, I want them to hear you. And when they look at me, I want them to see you, Lord. Because you're the one who gets all the glory and the praise. You're the one who's deserving of it all. Not me. So if I say to you, well, give God the glory. I'm not being a smart aleck. I want you to know that. I'm not. And I'm not trying to be mean or hateful. But what I'm saying is give God the glory and the praise, because He's the one who's responsible for me being here. My interest in Christ is intense. My interest in this world, not so much. And the things of it, now, you know, I told you before, I'd love to have a 57 Chevy sitting in my house. Oh, I'd love it. Man, I'd love to be able to cruise around holding on that big old pretty steering wheel, and people go, wow, nice car. I don't want that. I don't even want people, I do not want people to even say, well, man, he witnesses. He sure can preach, or he can do that. I don't want that either. You know what I want? My interest is the Lord saying, I am pleased with what you're doing today. I'm pleased that you're coming to me, and I'm pleased that you have faith in me and trust me. I'm pleased that you're praying, and I'm pleased that you're witnessing. So see, even as a preacher in a church, it's all God. If God's not the center of a church, or if God's not the center of my life, it's going to fall apart, and it won't last, and it won't persist. Lastly, we have to team up. Daniel 3:12 says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three men who teamed up, who came together, who committed their life to Christ, and they said, it doesn't matter that they have a golden image, we're not going to worship it. It doesn't matter what that king said, he's an earthly man. But they came together with a purpose and a calling to do God's will. And you know the outcome of that story. I don't have to tell it to you. They came out victorious. They were thrown into a fire, and they were delivered because they said, it doesn't matter what you choose to do with us, God will get the glory because He's the one that we live for, basically in a nutshell, how they would say it. And that enraged the king so much that he made the fire even hotter. Oh, the devil was working through that day and cast them into the fire. And when they looked into the fire, the king said, well, didn't we throw three men in there? And they're, yes, king. He says, well, I see four men, and they're dancing around in the fire, and one of them looks like the Son of God. So see, when we team up together, Christian brothers and sisters, as a church, and we tell the world, we don't care what you say, we don't care what you think, we're going to do God's will together. We're going to serve and we're going to grow. Because it's all about Him. So it doesn't matter what the devil throws into your face. Christ is your strength and your greater power. And He's going to deliver you because Christ made a promise. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus said, I will be with you. Somebody know? That's right. To the end of time, He'll never leave us. Now, ain't that great? People are going to leave your side. There's people who will turn away from you. And let me tell you what, as a pastor, I have suffered that. I've had people in the church turn their back on me because I committed to living for the Lord and not what they wanted. And I had people stab me in the back. I've had people walk all over me. But yet I have chose to forgive them and I have chosen to live for the Lord. Because that's what He's commanded. I am committed to living for Christ. So what I'm going to say this morning is, as a minister, when I step into this pulpit, I'm not stepping into this pulpit for anybody but Him. Because you know what? People didn't die for me. People didn't walk out of a tomb for me. Jesus did. And when I step into this pulpit, I'm not going to preach a religious doctrine. I'm not. I live for Christ. When you get to heaven, you're not going to walk the streets of the heaven and say, good morning, Presbyterians. Well, good morning, Methodists. Well, good morning, Assembly of God. You ain't going to have none of that. When we get to heaven, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see other Christian people there. So I'm not going to preach a religious doctrine. I'm going to preach this word because that's what I'm committed to do. And you know what? There will be people who don't like that, and I'll pray for them. I'll continue to love them, and I'll continue to go up and say hi to them, whatever I got to do. But I will never stray from this word. I will never stray from the calling. Oh, I've been tempted to stray and walk away. But when I think of that beautiful Savior, bleeding with those three nails through His flesh, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what that makes me say? I'm committed. What about you?